You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from Southside Baptist Church, located in Florence, South Carolina. We now have two services, a classic service at 8:30 and a modern service at 11 o'clock. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, amen. Let's give applause for Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful worship here this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 14, John chapter 14. As you're turning there, we're continuing our series, Church in the Wild, and we were in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and the last three or four weeks, and we were looking at and talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts that were given to the church and speaking in tongues, but we really didn't talk about much about the Holy Spirit himself, and so we're going to check that out here this morning. Several years ago, I had a Kia Gold, Kia Spectra, and that I had bought for like $2,500. I drove this car for like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. I got definitely my money out of it. But this Kia I had, it leaked oil, it leaked antifreeze, it leaked brake fluid. I think it even leaked blinker fluid, to be honest with you. Just kidding. If you've had someone play that joke on you, then you definitely know. I remember that it leaked so much oil one day. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go buy the thickest oil I can find, and I'm going to pour it in there just to get it to stop. The engine might blow up, but I'm going to try it. You know what? Never blew up. 2 years. I just never changed the oil, and it never died. I eventually got rid of it, and it's probably still working today. But one day when I was driving it, though, all the different lights in it, dashboard started blinking. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with this car? And so I checked the battery. No problem. I checked the battery cables. Not an issue. I went and got the codes read, and it had like 12 different codes of like so many different things wrong with it, right? I'm like, well, I know not all of those can be wrong with it. What's going on? Well, come to find out, I ended up getting something else that needed to be tested, was the alternator. And when the alternator is not working correctly, so many other parts in whatever vehicle you have is not going to get the right amount of voltage, so they're not going to work correctly. Whether it's your home or whether it's your devices or whatever you have, when you do not have enough power, things are not going to work the way they should work. You know, it got me thinking a little bit about here in the South. Did people live in the South before electricity? Before there was air conditioning? I mean, if you really think about it, it makes sense that the Bible Belt is in the South. Because people would be sweating, people would be hot, and the preacher would just have to preach on hell. Boom, revival. Like, I mean, you already had the example right there for you. It really does make sense. Well, as Jesus is with his disciples, he's trying to let them know, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. And they didn't quite understand all that until later on. So this is where we find Jesus and his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 15. And this is what he tells them. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. In some of the translations, it says encourager, or it says comforter, or counselor. It's kind of, advocate kind of combines the ideas of comfort and counsel. And he is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you. And you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And since I live, you will also live. And when I am raised to life again, you will also know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Let us pray. Father, as we dive into your word, may we be challenged this morning by your Holy Spirit, who is God. Some refer to him as the forgotten God, but God, we have not forgotten him. And you desire to indwell us, to empower us, to help us, to fill us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds are open to your scriptures here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's four things I want us to focus in on. Four things that you should know about the Holy Spirit. And some of these are in 1 Corinthians, and of course we're starting off here in John chapter 14, are some things that we need to know. And the very first point I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit inside you is more important than Jesus beside you. Now, maybe when you first hear that, you go, I don't know about that, preacher. I don't know about that, because let me tell you, it would be really nice to give Jesus a hug. Amen? Like, that'd be really cool. It'd be really neat to go turn to Jesus and go, Jesus, should I go do this or should I not do this? Jesus, should I date this person or marry this person or go to this college or take this job or do this, that, and the other? Like, Jesus, I really would like to know. But Jesus said himself to his disciples, I'm leaving, I'm going, but don't worry, the Holy Spirit is with you, inside you. Someone to counsel you when you're grieving. Someone to counsel you to convict you and really let you know, like, hey, this is the wrong path in which you are on. To encourage you, and we all need that. So Jesus himself, paraphrasing, the Holy Spirit inside you is more important than Jesus beside you. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need his power. We really do. To live for God, you need the Holy Spirit and his power. Now, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the church. Empowers the church. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, there's three outpourings, okay? Three outpourings. Acts chapter 2, 8, and 10. In Acts chapter 2, you have the outpouring of the Spirit upon those who were there, the Jewish people and the proselytes in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8, you have the second group, which would have been the Samaritans, and the third group would have been the Gentiles. And interesting enough, Peter, who was an apostle, was there for each of these outpourings to authenticate the message that was being given and how the Lord was moving among not just the Jewish people, but all people. Now, why is this the case? Why did the Holy Spirit roll out his outpouring this way? And I believe this is the reason when you read scripture, is that no one could say this is the Jewish church. This is a Samaritan church. This is a Gentile / Roman church. No. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The church is one. And that's why Peter and John were there for, as the apostles were there to authenticate and go, hey, this is of the Lord. Now, I want you to know this. Why do I mention this? The outpouring of the Spirit is different from the filling of the Spirit. The outpouring was a fulfillment of prophecy that we see in the book of Acts, which is a transitional book. It was unique to the coming of the Holy Spirit to earth. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit, you do read about in the Old Testament, but he would come and go. He was not a permanent fixture. He was not one who stayed with believers in the Old Testament. But as the book of Acts is going on, that changes. And so we are commanded as believers, think about this, not suggested, commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I would read this verse, even still today, I read it and I go, man, that's kind of weird to have don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit all in the same verse. What is Paul saying? He's saying the same way in which when someone drinks alcohol, they would end up doing things they would never normally not do, right? They might try something. They may sing something. They may be mean. I don't know. But they do something they normally would not do. And he's saying the same way in which alcohol would affect a person, with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled. You need to pray for the filling so that you, for the Lord, good things, are able to do some things you normally would not be able to do by yourself. We need the Lord's power. When you're driving in your vehicle, you're coming to church, you're going to work, you're dropping the kids off, you go up and you fill your tank up and with gasoline, and then you go off and you do your normal activities. It starts off on full, on the gauge, it eventually goes to empty, right? Now, there's two types of people here right now. There's two, not three, not four, not five, two. When you get the quarter tank, some of you are like, oh, time to fill up. The rest of you are like, I just want to live dangerously. I want to see how far I can push this. I want to see how far I can go. In the same way in which your car needs filled, you need filled with the Spirit, that as you live this life and as you go into each day, you need the Holy Spirit to fill you, and you need to pray for it. In the same way, Christian, you need to pray and ask the Lord to bring up to anything in your mind of maybe there's something that's offending the Holy Spirit in your life, or there's some things that you've done that you need to confess to the Lord and get right. You know what that is? Okay? So each and every day, I hope, or at least every other day, or if you're a kid, maybe once a week, you go and you take a shower. Maybe a bath. Why do you take a bath? Because you're dirty. Because you're starting to stink. Some of you were working out in the yard yesterday. Well, I was working out in the yard yesterday and, man, took a shower. Because you stink. In the same way, spiritually, in this life, you're in this world. Man, sometimes as a Christian, in the spiritual sense, you're going to start to stink. And what do you need to do? Man, you need to confess. You need to get cleansed in a spiritual sense. Not saved again, not born again. You need to get cleansed. You need to get right with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit comes as a direct result of submission to God. As well, the quenching of the Spirit is a direct result of rebelling against God's will. And some will look for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on a specific group of people in a specific time or place. They're almost looking for a repeat of the day of Pentecost. It's not going to happen. It's the fulfillment of Scripture. There's not going to be an outpouring, but there is a filling. And we need to be filled. The church has already begun. The apostles already laid the foundation according to Ephesians 2. And sometimes we sing songs to ask the Holy Spirit to come, but the reality is he's already here. And he indwells every believer with the potential to be filled. See, the Holy Spirit in you is more important than Jesus beside you. And we have neglected the Holy Spirit at times in our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit. And some have called him the forgotten God. I can see where they get that. But he should not be forgotten. Today is the age of the Holy Spirit. No, Jesus isn't done in prophecy. That's correct. God the Father isn't done in prophecy. God is not done with the nation of Israel. But today, since the day of Pentecost, is a day of the Holy Spirit, and we need him. Another thing you should know about the Holy Spirit is he desires for you to grow in intimacy with him. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. It says, so I say, let, God's not going to make him. He's not going to make you. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So you got two natures, man. You got a battle going on. You have these two different desires. You got what the Spirit of God desires, and you have what the flesh desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. So you receive the Holy Spirit because of belief in Jesus, not out of just being good or out of just obeying a law or obeying and focusing on the do's and don'ts of Christianity. You received him at salvation. And the Holy Spirit helps us obey and live for Jesus. You see, what is this passage telling us? It's telling us that it's human nature to resist the Spirit. It's human nature to resist the Spirit. Our default in human nature is to resist the Spirit, not submit to the Spirit. We naturally do not want intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We naturally want to do things our own way, to be our own man, to be our own woman, to do it the way that I want to do it. That's what the flesh wants. That's the battle. And the Bible says the flesh is weak. But the flesh is weak is not and should not be an excuse for us as believers to sin. The flesh is weak in Scripture is a warning. It's letting us know. It's a warning light going off that when the power of the Holy Spirit and we're not filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit, it's a warning light going off. The flesh is weak. Get back and be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. See, God's plan wasn't just to save you from hell and then leave you alone. And man, many believers have this, they live their lives this way. God, I love you. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for saving me. I'm thankful that I know where I'm going to go when I die. But God, that's all you get. Then what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why even have the Holy Spirit? But we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit because you know why? Because God isn't interested in just saving you from hell. He's interested in having a relationship with you. And you may be here right now and go, but I don't feel worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. But God is love and He loves you and He loves me and He wants to use you. We feel guilty for, I believe, two reasons in life. One, we've sinned, we know what we've done, and yet we've been forgiven. But our enemy, he knows our past. He knows our past, and so the devil doesn't want you to forget about your past. I heard someone say once, when the devil reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. That was good. So sometimes you may feel guilty and shameful, and it's not of the Spirit of God. It's of the devil. It's in a different spiritual realm. It's something of the darkness reminding you. You remember who you were. You remember what you've done. And man, you need to look unto the Lord in that case. Hold on to some of the special passages, and you hold on to those. Put them in your heart. What does Scripture say? Man, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. But then, when we're living in sin and the Holy Spirit won't let us forget, so sometimes we run away and sometimes we do feel guilty, and it's the Holy Spirit. And His purpose is not to try to make you live in shame. That's not His purpose of making us feel convicted about our sin. He knows what our sin will do. He knows that our sin will enslave us. And so when it comes to our past, when it feels becoming, feeling guilty, man, one spirit is trying to enslave us while the other is trying to free us. Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 3, "For the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And man, if you have the kind of Christianity where there's no freedom, you have legalism. You have legalism. Because in the Lord there is freedom. And when you are serving the Lord and you are filled with the Spirit, you want to do what is right. You want to be sensitive to the Spirit. You want to know what the Spirit is speaking concerning the Word of God. There's something I need to change. Man, Spirit, show me. Convict me, lead me, guide me, because God, I am so focused. I want to be in the center of your will in all that I do. And the Bible says He will guide you into all truth. And that's a way of saying the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the steering wheel of your life. There's two ways to get to a destination. One is to take a map or your app on your phone and try to figure it out. The other way is to have someone drive you who knows the way in which to go. And the Holy Spirit knows where to go. So let me ask you, and this can be a convicting question. Do you really submit to the Holy Spirit? Do you really submit to the Holy Spirit? You see, Scripture tells us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about the whole church being the temple. You see, in Jesus' day, they expected Jesus to be the political leader. The disciples thought that. I mean, they even argued who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so they're like, they had this mind. Jesus is coming. He's going to rule. He's going to get rid of these Romans. He's going to take care of everything politically, and it's going to be perfect. Good thing we don't ever have that thought today when it comes to politics. Even if you had everyone in office you wanted to have in office, whether what party you like or love, guess what? Still problems. Still issues, because we're not about that kingdom. We're about the spiritual kingdom. And that's what Jesus was about, the spiritual kingdom of God. In Jesus' day, and when 1 Corinthians was written, they could look out and they could see the temple. Maybe not from Corinth, but they could go. You could see the temple. The temple was there. And man, the temple was a place that was holy. It was revered. In fact, once a year, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And they would, according to tradition, would tie a rope around his neck, a scarlet rope. Some say it's interlaced with gold, and he would go in. Just in case he died, they could pull him out. It was a holy, holy, majestic place. It's beautiful. There's no temple there today. If God wanted there to be a temple there today, it would be there. Now, we believe as Christians, and according to prophecy, one day there will be a temple there again in the future that will be completed halfway during the tribulation. But the point is this. There's no temple, but your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But just think about that statement for a moment. A place that was so holy, a place where God's Shekinah glory would dwell. Some of it was symbolic, sure, but there were some special things that happened there at the temple. They would bring their sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit, who was God, man, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And man, that truth just gets glossed over too much today in our churches. Lives in you, and it is given to you by God. I think we like the idea of God being with us, but we don't like the idea of growing in intimacy with the Spirit. We think, I don't want the Holy Spirit there when I'm watching a certain show I know God wouldn't want me to watch. I don't want the Holy Spirit there when I'm listening to certain things. I don't want the Holy Spirit when I treat my spouse like trash. I don't want the Holy Spirit when I'm being mean to my kids. I don't want the Holy Spirit when I'm a different person at work than I am at church. I don't want the Holy Spirit there then. But the Holy Spirit's like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. It says God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. He wants 100% submission to Him. The Holy Spirit isn't interested in just being allowed in certain parts of your life. He desires to be in every room of your soul. Could it be the reason that you continue to struggle to have freedom in your life is because you have not 100% surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Could it be that our worship reflects a lack of relationship with the Holy Spirit? Could it be that the reason that our struggles with certain pet sins is simply a result of a lack of intimacy with the Holy Spirit? You see, the Holy Spirit, and the thing you need to know, will not forsake you, but you can grieve Him. God's not going to forsake you, my friend, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit, who is God. The good news, you're saved. God's not going to disown you. He's not going to make you an orphan, as Jesus said in John 14. But the bad news is some of us have grieved the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting is this. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew, but I'm going to quote from John chapter 1, verse 32. It says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And He remained upon Him, speaking of Jesus. He came and remained, or He dwelled with Jesus. Why? Because here, permanently, Jesus was indwelt by the Spirit. Why did the Spirit indwell in Jesus? Here's the reason. He felt welcomed. Simple. He felt welcomed by Jesus. Does the Holy Spirit feel welcomed in your life? Be honest with yourself. Does the Holy Spirit really feel welcomed in your life, or have you grieved Him? I remember hearing a story about a husband and wife who would go on their back porch and they would sit and they would watch the trees and they would hear the birds sing. And one day as they're drinking their coffee, black, of course, because that's the only spiritual way to drink it. I don't know if you know that. But they're sitting there, and then suddenly a dove came down in front of them and landed on their porch. And I go, oh, look at the dove. I can't believe the dove is so close. Look at the dove. And so the husband and wife are looking at the dove. And about that time, their teenage son opens the back door, comes out, the door slams, and they look over at their teenage son. They look back, and the dove is gone. He scared it away. The next morning, they're back out there, not thinking much about the dove, but the dove returns to the same spot, and they see the dove, and they're drinking their coffee, and they're just chatting. Oh, look at the dove. I can't believe the dove is back. Like, this is so cool. And so about that time, the neighbor's garage door opens up, and someone pulls up, and they beep for someone to come out, and they look over, and they look back, and the dove is gone. And they got up the next morning and thought, maybe 3 days in a row, this dove will come back. And the dove came back and stayed a little bit longer each and every day. Each and every day. So for a week, they're looking at the dove, and it would stay a little bit longer and a little bit longer. What's interesting is that now when the teenage son would come out to the back porch expecting the dove to be there, he wouldn't just open the door and then slam the door. He would gently open the door, come out, and let it shut. And he would come and he would sit, and the whole family was out there looking and watching the dove. And the father kind of whispered to his family, like, man, this is so neat. I think the dove is getting used to us. And then it hit him. The dove isn't getting used to us. We are adjusting to the dove. We need to adjust to the Holy Spirit, not the other way around. He's not going to adjust to you. You need to adjust to Him. Does the Holy Spirit really feel welcomed in your life? Does He really feel welcomed? Or how often, though? How often are we slamming the door on the Holy Spirit when we lie? How often are we slamming the door on the Holy Spirit when we gossip? Or when? How often are we slamming the door when we refuse to forgive? Or we simply just want to do our own thing and live our own way? And we slam the door and we wonder, God, I haven't felt you lately. It's because we haven't adjusted to the Holy Spirit. Now, Scripture says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. It doesn't work the other way around. The Lord is there. He wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. He really does. When was the last time that you had intimacy with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were intimate with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. He points us to God's truth. He glorifies Jesus. He points us to Him. He desires to build His church. And He reminds us that the cross should have been for us. It should have been for us. That Jesus took our place on the cross. He took our punishment. He took our sin. We deserve death and hell. Oftentimes people have in their mind that we are so good and we should never have to ever experience hell. But let me tell you something. When you realize how holy God is, how perfect God is, and who He is, you realize, man, I'm a wretched sinner and I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve mercy. I deserve the punishment. But because God is love, and He really is, He took your place on the cross. He took our punishment. That's what Jesus did when He did not have to. And He loves you. And He cares for you. Before we get to point four, go backwards if you would, please. I'm not on point four. Does the Holy Spirit really feel welcomed? and you may know the Lord. And just as Jesus has forgiven you, do you forgive others? Or is your heart kind of feeling cold? Is your heart kind of feeling like just like plastic, in which when it comes to the things of God, you're just like, no. The worst part, I think, is that some Christians, they don't even realize that the Holy Spirit's gone, that the dove's not there. In Judges chapter 16, verse 19 through 20, there's a story about Samson. This is what it reads. Talking about Delilah. If you know the story, you'll know what I'm talking about. It says, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times, and I will shake myself free. But this is the sad part. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And I wonder how many of us continue to live our lives with zero intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And we don't even realize that we're not even been filled with the Holy Spirit in years. And we're missing out on all that God has for us. Imagine the Holy Spirit who works in people's hearts. The Holy Spirit helps us and brings people to Jesus. He points people to Jesus. He's about building the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit working on someone's life. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been working on someone's heart for a month or a week and getting them all set up just across your path because you know Jesus as your Savior. And it crosses your path and you just fumble it. You fumble the opportunity because you simply are not aware of what's going on around you in the spiritual realm. Because you're so focused on yourself and there's no intimacy and you miss out on an opportunity that the Holy Spirit had prepared. And truth be told, there's probably a lot of opportunities around us, but we simply are not prepared. We're not ready because there's a lack of spiritual sensitivity to the things of God in our lives. He wants us to share the gospel with others. And in this life, there are people, man, they're wondering about what life is all about. They're wondering if Jesus is really real. They're wondering if some of the Christianity stuff that they hear, if there's anything really to it. And they're watching you and they're wondering. They're asking. They're thinking. And when we have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, our eyes are opened. And we see the opportunities that are there. There's probably more opportunities than what you realize when our eyes are opened by the Spirit. And could it be the reason we do not have a burden to share the gospel is a lack of intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Be honest. When it comes to grieving the Holy Spirit, do you know what grieves the Spirit? God hasn't left us just wondering. He's given us the instructions in His Word to show us what we need to know, what we need to do. And for the Christian, for the believer, ignorance is not an excuse. And if we've grieved the Holy Spirit, we need to make some decisions. And here's the fourth thing you need to know. It's time to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in John 5:25. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. How do you do this? The same way that you develop any other relationship, by spending time with Him, by praying and conversation with them. Start off by saying simply that you are sorry to the Holy Spirit. Sorry for grieving Him. Sorry for dismissing Him and missing out on all that He has for you. Sorry for trying to take care of all the problems on your own instead of running to the Lord. And start asking Him to give you discernment when it comes to making decisions in your marriage, your finances, your children, at your work. And you may think to yourself, but God, I don't need to take all the little things, even the little decisions to God. I can handle those. I only take the big decisions to God. Let me tell you, my friend, all the decisions you make, they're all little to God. But he loves to hear about them. And he loves to know how much weight are we carrying in our lives that we don't have to carry. Do you speak to him? Have you really spoken to the Holy Spirit? You say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I didn't ask you that. That's kind of like saying, how's your relationship with your wife or your spouse? And you go, well, we've been married 30 years. I told her I loved her when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. It's not what I asked you. How's your intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Do you speak to him? The God that we serve is a living God. The God we serve is not satisfied with cold, dead religion. He's not satisfied with people just going through the motions and just having church be something that you can just check off your checklist. The Holy Spirit is not satisfied with that. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Will you give it to him? The same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same power that's been given to us through the Holy Spirit. And where there is death, he can resurrect. He can resurrect a relationship. He can resurrect what is broken in your marriage. He can resurrect a church. He can resurrect a family. He can resurrect a group or small group. He can resurrect. I love what Galatians 6 says. It says, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Is that your desire? Maybe it hasn't been, but that can change today. Death Valley is one of the hottest places on earth. Death Valley is a place that is one of the lowest places in America, elevation-wise. But something special happens every so often, about once every 10 years. Something called a super bloom. This is an actual picture from Death Valley. It's beautiful. Here's another one. You can see a lake in the background or water standing. A super bloom in Death Valley, a place that is normally hot, a place where there's nothing, where nothing normally even wants to live. What some of us need today is to stop depending upon our own will, stop living in the flesh as believers, and have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need a super bloom in our lives. As Jesus was sitting across from a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a man who knew the law, he knew the religion. And Nicodemus would eventually come to Christ. But as he sat across from Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And if you don't know Christ this morning, whether you're watching or you're here, I want you to know you can start fresh. You can start new. And if you ask the Lord to save you, to forgive you of your sins, he will change you and he will give you a gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll never have to be alone. He will guide you, he will help you, and he will counsel you. But here in a moment, we're going to just have a time of prayer. Time where we're going to close our eyes and pray. Are you submitting to the Holy Spirit? Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? If not, Christian, it needs to change today. Today is the day. Today is a time to do a 180. So as we pray, let's just pray together. I'm going to ask any of our deacons, any of our leaders, men or women, I'm going to ask you to do this while people are praying and are reflecting. I want you to come up. Just come forward. Come to the sides. Pray with one another. Pray with somebody. If they need prayer, just go ahead and come up. All of our leaders, come up to the sides. Now, as our leaders are coming up, maybe you're here and maybe you're new. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but you realize you've been living in the flesh instead of living in the spirit. It's time to make a change. Maybe it's time for you to get baptized and you've been putting off the Holy Spirit in that area of your life. There's some things you need to get right. Come on up. We're just going to pray. We're going to pray. I'm going to give you a moment here. Lord, thank you for not forever forsaking us, never giving up on us. Even when there's times in which we live in the flesh and we grieve the Holy Spirit, we can still run to you in repentance. We can be filled with your Spirit. We can be controlled in a life that can be confusing, in a life that, man, so much is just fighting for our attention. You continue to pursue us. May each and every believer here this morning be filled with your Spirit. May they strive to have a relationship with you. We love you. We praise you. In the precious, precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, church.